Boy, what an evening. Get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at what Ed and Chris Sherwood have sent us. We call them the Sherwood images, particularly the one under the feature article that Lex has posted. It has to do with the unidentified flying humanoid. See what you think about that one. We'll be back with both Ed and Chris in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Ed and Chris Sherwood are internationally known crop circle researchers with more than 30 years combined study and experience of the worldwide crop circle phenomenon. Ed began crop circle research in 1984 and on-site field work in 1990. Chris began crop circle research in 91. Ed and Chris co-founded Millennium Research in January of 96, which is a multimedia project created to document and share their combined research concerning crop circles and related phenomena. There are special guests tonight on Coast to Coast. Hey, Ed, Chris, how are you both?
Good. How are you, George?
Hi, George.
Good.
Great.
Good. What Thank is you. You have provided us some great images, which we'll go through in just a moment. Are we in any particular wave or season with crop circles right now?
In our view, we are in a kind of a special time right now. Because we feel that the genuine phenomenon, which has more than one source, but you could break down to two basic sources, what we call the primary source, has been giving us visual communications for more than 20 years now. And we've been studying this visual communication day in, day out for some years. And what we found is that, like everything, the communication has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can recognize where the beginning is and so on, you might also discover when the end is. And we feel that there hasn't been a genuine non-man-made crop circle formation in Great Britain since 2001. So what you see in the field, or have seen in the field since 2001, has been man-made, and really shows you how many formations they can make and what kind of formations they can make. So in a way, we are in a special season, but in our view, we're in a season of no genuine formations.
All right.
Communication, in our view, has mostly ended.
Why is that? What's going on?
Well, prophecy has been fulfilled, in our view. This when I say it's mostly finished, I'm talking about what we call a primary source, and I'll go into that in a little bit in a minute.
Sure.
But there are still formations popping up in far-flung places, including in this country, a few in number that we feel are made by an extraterrestrial source. So there's still something to sort of sink your teeth into. But, again, we have deciphered the communication, many of the communications that have been given over the last 20 years, and honestly, there's still a great deal of information about those formations, and we have deciphered more than 150, that isn't even yet in the public domain. So in a way, think of a phenomenon that was prophesied or referenced in, we found this to be referenced in certain prophecies, and that prophecy has been fulfilled. And we've been getting these signs for 20 years. And we've been looking at the messages, and the messages have been spelling it out every year about who and what's behind it. But it's definitely wound down.
Of these 20 years of crop formations, let's say, what percent of them do you think were actual, real, the other percent being done by humans?
Okay. Since 1990, if you were to total up all the formations we have on record since that time,
all right,
we feel that less than 10% were non-man-made. Now, that number, less than 10%, is still several hundred pictograms, and that's a very significant
number. Well, and it's still dramatic. Even if you had said 1%.
Yes, even if
exactly.
one was non-man-made, you know. And this percentage actually has varied quite a lot over the years. You know, from the beginning, of course, in the early years, the percentage of man-made formations was much less.
To give an example, in 2000, year 2000, we felt, like one or two other people felt, that at least 80% of the formations of that year were man-made. That's just 2000, and that's just in Great Britain. Mm-hmm. In 1990, it was the reverse. In 1990, we feel that about 80%, approaching 80%, were non-man-made, and the rest were man-made. The numbers have varied from year to year dramatically, but there's been an awful lot of human circle-making. It's a lot like the UFO phenomenon, where we know that the majority of sightings that people make often break down to be mundane phenomena. However, the small percentage which is left is still a tremendously significant number and cases and information.
Do you find that the crop formations that have occurred over the last 20 years were sent to us to send us a specific message or just to catch and grab our attention?
I think we've had multiple messages, but you could say that they all more or less fall under an umbrella message or one message, which is that we are co-creating this phenomenon with our consciousness, with our conscious participation in it. And that means just by looking at a crop circle or looking at a design or looking into the phenomenon.
And an awful lot of our written research, our published articles, deal with what we saw in that message and go into specifics of individual formations and how in multi-layered, ways of referencing different things, the genuine phenomena is reflecting back to us things that are in the collective consciousness, things that have been questions that have arisen about the nature of it in our investigations.
Things we need to know, definitely. So it is a wake-up. I mean, the phenomenon of miraculous signs on the earth giving us all kinds of information, but particularly, again, you asked, is there one message? Well, many people around the world for more than 20 years have been asking the same basic question, who and what is mm-hmm. behind this phenomenon? And the answer to that question has been given every year in the fields. And amazingly, the source has a way of saying the same thing over again, but in many different ways. So one point that has been stated over and over again is what the true source of this phenomenon is. And we can go into that more.
We might as well dive into that right now as well, Ed and Chris, because for so many years, as we've talked about crop circles, crop formations on this program, there's always been that who or what. What's the message? Who's sending it? Is it coming from a parallel dimension, another universe? Is it coming from extraterrestrials? Is it a weather-related vortex? I mean, the theories abound.
Yes, and there are actually many aspects and many things that are going into creating this phenomenon, things like cosmic and planetary forces and our consciousness. And as Ed says, there are three basic sources that we see behind the phenomenon. One is, of course, the man-made phenomenon. The other is the extraterrestrial formations, the markings that have been made, you know, a lot of eyewitness accounts of structured craft leaving an area and leaving a ground trace mark or markings. And the primary source that we focus on is the one that we feel is actually coming from our consciousness and combined with a more infinite intelligence.
It's a divine source. Think of three basic sources that break down into more sources. One is the infinite intelligence and consciousness mm-hmm. of God, in our view, or divine force intelligence. But that in itself breaks down into more than one force, process, natural, supernatural, cosmic and terrestrial. It's as if a universal consciousness, intelligence, utilizes natural forces and supernatural forces, and the main supernatural force in this phenomenon is human consciousness and human participation of consciousness. But the primary source, we feel, brings all these things together or is synchronized to produce a miracle as a consequence of these things being brought together. But at the same time, there are extraterrestrial-made formations, mostly simple circles, a few simple pictograms. But there's more than one ET civilization that has also made ground trace marks and UFO nests and crop circles. And then, of course, the third least important source, in our view, is deceptive human circle making.
Mm-hmm,
and of course,
right.
Again, you've got more than one individual and more than one group. So if you can remember, despite all the evidence and all the information and theories and so on, at least from us, from our experience, we feel that there are basically three sources, a divine one, an ET one, a human one, and they break down to many more. And in 1990, when I first stepped into the field to do research, I very quickly found that there was obviously more than one cause to a genuine formation.
That came to you right away, didn't it?
Yes, because of certain things that happened very quickly. And also because I was very interested in the physics at that time. And I saw that there was physics being employed in the creation process. And the more I got my mind around that, for example, discovered that certain weather conditions need to be present for these balls of light to form or beams of light mm-hmm. to occur that often precede crop circle creation. So it was as if some natural intelligence, or rather some intelligence, was respecting natural law, utilizing it in the creation process, and it just seemed to be way too much to be purely ET. Plus, the source was frequently sitting on your shoulder, listening into all your thoughts or what you were doing or where you was going to do something, and it was invariably stating things or doing things with that knowledge. So, I can quickly spin one off to you just from a human circle
maker. Sure, and then we'll get into that first image you sent us.
Right, okay. I've said this before, but it's a classic example. A human circle maker planned to make a formation deceptively in a field one night, and he wrote it on a piece of paper where, and he drew the formation,
mm-hmm.
and when he got there, it was waiting for him. this has happened more than once. This has happened to us an awful lot. We have many formations that have appeared in response to certain things we've done, said, many of which have been privately communicated, so again, it has to be something sitting on your shoulder.
Something's watching, viewing, picking things up.
Exactly.
Yes.
That is something. It's almost like they definitely want you to know they know.
Yes, and it's also like a, because I've experienced many types of parapsychological phenomena, it's like a poltergeist, but on a global scale. Instead of the poltergeist sort of playing with your mind, moving objects around in a house, this is a global expression, if you like, and it's playing, or not playing, but it's interacting with your consciousness and your actions.
Have you been able, Ed and Chris, to decipher some of these messages in terms of trying to figure out exactly what this message might be? I mean,
yes,
could
exactly.
it be could yes, it be evil motivated, or is it
no,
all good?
Not at all. It's
all right.
Purely benevolent. And a good way to
good.
Kick that off might be to go to the first image.
All right, first image. This is one of those nights I wish everybody had a computer. Those that don't, Ed and Chris, do the best you can to kind of paint us a picture
sure.
of what they would be seeing if they had a computer.
Okay, well, first picture is on the left-hand side is a silhouette drawing of a crop circle formation that appeared in 1990. And on the right-hand side is a diagram which I found in a physics book, a 25-year-old physics book that I'd had for many years. And this formation appeared in 1990.
In England?
In England.
Okay.
And no one, as far as I know, has brought forward an explanation for what this pictogram means. But shortly before I saw the image of this formation, I had an experience in a crop circle of a strange sound. And that and a related event that happened soon after got me into looking at sound as a possible component to the physics of crop circle creation. And when I turned to this physics book that I had for more than 10 years, I found inside it an identical diagram in its basic construction to the design symbolism of this 1990 crop circle. And what it stated very beautifully, to describe the crop circle to those people who can't see it, imagine a simple circle with a thin ring around it, a concentric ring around it, and then in between the ring and the circle, there are four arcs positioned in the sort of north, south, east, west position.
Kind of encircling, in a way, the circle.
That's right, encircling the inner circle and offset it, each one offset, two of them offset from the other two.
Right.
Anyway, the diagram I found in the physics book was the sound waves that resonate off a vibrating tuning fork. So the associated sound waves, and both the audible and the inaudible sound waves. In crop circles, myself and other people, some people have experienced an audible sound which comes from them or occurs in vicinity, and others that have recorded even sounds that were not heard at the time, but the recorders picked them up.
So what this 1990 crop circle is, based on your opinion, is basically a vibrating tune or sound wave.
It's depicting two things. It's depicting the physics and metaphysics of sound. And also, I feel like the crop circle formation was giving the answer, one answer, to the question of who and what is behind this. Who is behind it? Well, to look at the crop circle glyph, a circle and a ring around it is the oldest ancient sacred symbol used the world over to depict and symbolize the sun and God. So a creator concept.
Okay.
And in this formation, you had that. And then in between the circle and the ring, you had these arcs, which related to the physics diagram of sound waves emanating from a tuning fork. So you had the physics of sound in this formation, but also you had the metaphysics, because common to many cultures, ancient cultures particularly world over, is the concept of universal creation coming into being through the spoken word or sound of a creative force, principle, or God or being. And the opening chapter of the Gospel of St. John says this beautifully. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, you could take the Word and change that to creation. In the beginning was creation, and creation was with God, and creation was God. You could also think of the Word as vibrations and frequencies, and how in science it, you know, we would think of the beginning of the universe as being a birthing of vibrations and oscillations and frequencies. So you have both a crop circle symbolizing the word, in a sense, creation, and also from a divine source, and also you have the physics.
Okay, what about the why? Why do this? Why send us messages that most people can't figure out?
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, one answer to that, I think, is because we are meant to try to think it out, try to work it out. We're meant to question it. We're meant to look into it. It's not meant to be simply spelled out to us.
Maybe a revelation somewhere, Ed?
There is definitely. Yes.
Yeah, once we figure it out.
Yes, exactly. And it's in... we've found that by deciphering many of these formations that we learn things, too. We find things that we didn't know before. So there's definitely things being revealed, very significant. But also, I think that this is a prophesized phenomenon, and we're living in a very special time. And these are signs on the earth, and we're beginning signs both on the earth and in the sky, as has been prophesized.
All right, stay with us, Ed and Chris Sherwood. We'll be back with you in a moment. We'll look at a UFO image over Costa Mesa, California. This is kind of strange indeed. Lots more on Coast to Coast AM. You know, a pastor who was about ready to give up baptism in Waco, Texas, was electrocuted after grabbing a microphone while partially submerged. The Reverend Kyle Lake, he's 33 years old, was standing in a small pool used for baptisms at the University of Baptist Church when he was electrocuted. He had reached out to adjust a nearby microphone, which produced an electric shock. He had a wife, three children. He'd been at the church for 9 years. What an incredible story. My, oh, my, oh, my. Sad, too. A long time ago, Art Bell did an interview with the late Father Malachi Martin on exorcisms called Perfect Possession, a CD never given out before. It's free when you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter. A couple ways you can do that. Call 1-888-727-5505, 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online, coasttocoastam.com. This will not last too much longer. It's a free CD. It goes with the After Dark subscription or renewal. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, Ed and Chris Sherwood, our guests. Their website, CropCircleAnswers.com, linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com. Ed and Chris, the second source of non-man-made crop circles, you believe, extraterrestrial civilizations. Now, before we go to image number two, tell me a little bit about your thoughts, and how did you come to this conclusion?
Before I started researching crop circles, I was researching and experiencing UFO encounters. And as I'm sure you and many of the audience knows, there have been reports of metallic structured objects going into vegetation, many types of terrestrial vegetation, and when they leave the area, they leave behind a classic circle or a set of circles. A good example is one in Mexico in 95, near Toluca Airport. Metallic structured objects were witnessed by air traffic controllers and ground personnel descending into fields, and when they took off, they left behind ground markings. The extraterrestrial, there is definitely an extraterrestrial source to some of the crop circle formations, but what I've found looking at ones that we can be sure were made by them, and those that we are used to encountering in England, let's say, that show evidence of being genuine too, but there's a tremendous difference in the biophysical aspect of the formations, and that's how we can one of the ways we can tell them apart.
Okay, let's look at the picture number two that you sent us, and this, of course, was the UFO over Costa Mesa, California. I guess you're just trying to demonstrate the possibility of ETs.
Yes, and this was put in because it looks a lot like some of the objects that were filmed over Mexico City in July 11th, 91. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot what I really wanted to talk about. That was an unprecedented event in 91. In my view, it still is the most significant single mass witnessed UFO sighting of the last century. And so significant because apart from being witnessed by so many people and filmed from different vantage points and happening during a total solar eclipse, it was prophesied by the Maya and 1,200 years ago that said when this total solar eclipse occurs, two things would begin with it. One is the return of the beings from the stars, and also this that it would usher in a new age of cosmic awareness, human awareness to our cosmic environment, including the fact we're not alone. And that's exactly what happened over the world's largest city 14 years ago, and it's been continuing ever since, and to a point where, although we have UFO events, encounters happening worldwide, and incredible events happening in every country, Mexico has become the country that has the most of practically everything. And
I wonder why.
Well, I think...
Well, Yeah, we both, I think I'll jump in here to make a comment. We feel that it's a lot because of the openness in Mexico to this reality, the openness of the media. Whenever there are sightings, people go out and stand on the street with their camcorders, and they say on the news there are OVNIs over the city and call people's attention to it. There's a great deal of acceptance and openness about it, and we feel that is one of the reasons that so much activity is going on in Mexico.
They're also, by being so open, by putting it on television, by educating their population about what's happening over the skies and doing it in a with a great interest, curiosity, is that they are satisfying the conditions, I think. They're supporting the phenomenon because clearly the intelligences behind many of these sightings want us to see them. They want to be acknowledged. And how can we really have a global exchange? How can we really move forward in this subject until we acknowledge their very existence?
What are they afraid of, though, Ed? Why don't they just simply, you know, like the old movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, why don't they just simply land right in front of us?
I think it's coming, but it's a very delicate issue down here. And there's so much fear in people in general that has to be... it has to be done safely.
Would be panic. I'm convinced there would be widespread panic.
I think that depends on how it's done. If you think about it, for the last 50 years, extraterrestrial intelligences of many kinds have been testing the sociological reaction of human beings. Every time they appear, every time they put an object over a city,
sure,
or you know, where there's a group of people, they are testing our social response. And at least those that care. I mean, there's always the possibility of those coming and going that are indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much evidence that they're probably the minority, because there are some that come and come and come and keep coming back again and again and showing us that they exist. And, if you think of Independence Day, the movie, then yes, scary.
But they are scary.
Imagine a small object just sitting over the city for several days and nights.
And not doing anything, just sitting there.
Just sitting there for us to look at, doing nothing, but just letting us look at it so we can fully get to grips with the fact that we're not alone.
Yeah, but you know what would happen? Helicopters would go up there, jets would go up there, and who knows what would happen.
Well, maybe, but...
I'm sure that they've seen all of our movies and tap into our television shows
indeed.
And know what our attitudes are.
Plus there's some evidence that at least some of them have, I think, been... conducting a sociological process with the military, too. So it's not just with the civilian population. And that includes, there's been some famous cases where objects have hovered over nuclear silos, for example, along the Canadian-American border,
right,
in the 80s. And
I think they've even disarmed some of those missiles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. I think there's many ways that they probably think they could appear. Because I think more that we're heading towards a global exposure of the fact we're not alone. So think of a mass sighting that everyone on the planet basically gets to see. I think we're heading in that direction, and it's coming up on us pretty fast.
Now, will we as a government announce it to the people? Or when you say it's coming, I mean, how are we going to be made aware, I think, of this?
We've been progressively made aware, I think, over the last few decades. You know, the sightings have increased. They're occurring more and more over centers of population. They clearly want to be seen. They're doing it safely, for the most part.
Maybe it'll take a calamity, and then they'll decide, we're going to do this now.
That possibly.
Well, I think they see that's coming to the planet,
yes,
right now,
exactly.
And that's a lot of the reason that they're.
And it has happened.
Appearing.
You know, there have been major UFO sightings shortly before, you know, over centers of population shortly before calamity.
Sure.
Turkey in 1999, Istanbul, thousands of people killed by an earthquake. Shortly before that devastating event, there were many sightings, UFO sightings, both of the plasma type and of the structured craft type. even to the point where there was fear in Turkey shortly afterwards when the information was brought out about the UFO events that they some people thought they may have even caused it. But you look at Mexico, for example, and since the sightings of 91, which progressively took people's attention to Mount Popo, the fourth largest volcano in the world, where in 94 it began to come alive and start to erupt. Again, there's evidence that there are definite intelligences, extraterrestrial, that think about our welfare, have concerns for the planet. I think there's a lot at stake here. It's not just humanity that's at stake or the planet. I think there is a cosmic thing happening here. I think the planet, in a sense, is like a Genesis project, and we're here, all of us here, as learners, to learn as much as we can about the real important things of life before we leave this world. And one of those things is to realize that we exist in a universe of full of intelligence and self-aware beings.
Items 3 and 4 that you've sent us, the first one you call a disc dolphin design. Tell me about that. Okay. And that is an actual crop circle?
Yes. This was there was a series of four major crop circle pictograms that appeared in Wiltshire, England, shortly after the historic Mexico City July 11, 91 event. A little more than 2 weeks after that eclipse and sighting witnessed by millions occurred, a massive formation appeared in Wiltshire, which is figure 3. It looks like imagine a black silhouette of a cross section of a flying saucer. So you've got like a disc.
Yeah, it looks like one.
With a circle at each end of the rim.
Yeah.
And then you've got two appendages, one on each side of the middle of the disc. So it looks almost like a dolphin, too. And some people, including myself, saw this symbology. This was a communication. But why a dolphin? And why combine a dolphin with a disc? And also, this was a genuine formation. This wasn't a man-made formation. Soil inside it was tested in a laboratory by a nuclear physicist and found to have short-lived radio deuterium isotopes in it, in the soil, inside the formation, which could only be created inside a laboratory.
That, I'm sure, wasn't there before this was placed there.
Definitely not. So it was saying this is a genuine formation, but even the presence of the isotopes was part of the message, because I feel I decoded this formation shortly after I heard about it. Again, here's a formation that's answering who and what is behind genuine crop circle creation. It's a very kind of cleverly stated one, because you have a dolphin. A dolphin is...
And how big is that crop circle?
This was more than 300 feet
long. Oh, my gosh.
Long.
Okay,
you know, now... It was a great big formation.
Can it be made by man? I assume it could, right?
Oh, it could be imitated and flattened down with rollers and such. Like, yes, but...
All right, a couple guys, Ed, how long would that take?
Oh, that would take them several hours. But then you've got the radioisotopes in the soil, and then
right.
You've got an amazing communication that actually what it states in the most beautiful and simple way. It occurred 2 weeks, a little more than 2 weeks after this historic event over Mexico City. So millions of people in Mexico were witnessing the fact that we're not alone. And I feel that the collective psychokinetic energy of that helped to co-create this formation. And it even gave us clues as to, you know, what is behind the creation of this formation.
What do the little dots represent, by the way, in this
They're
image?
Little extra, well, there's two circles that are close together and one slightly larger than the other. And that has been, for a long time in the early years, was a sign, like a signature sign.
Yeah, it's like the artist.
Exactly. It was like a signature of the artist.
Because it's in that fourth image also, up there in the left-hand corner.
Exactly. Until the hoaxers picked up on this and started to imitate it.
I see. All
right. You know, it was there. But what's particularly interesting about this formation is the fact that it looks like a symbolic dolphin. But why a dolphin? Why would a dolphin be symbolized? Well, dolphins exist in the water element. Water is... a very big component of the physics of non-man-made crop circle creation. They typically appear where there's presence of either below ground or above ground, including in the air, water or water vapor.
Well, and some people believe dolphins are not of this planet.
Yes, some do.
So who knows?
I feel that despite their great intelligence, the reason why a dolphin was put here was like to say, think of the maker or the creator of this formation as natural. Don't think of the creator of this formation as extraterrestrial. This formation is saying several things, cross-referencing several things. And one is that the answer to who created this, well, dolphins didn't create it, but something of natural intelligence, divine intelligence did. But trying to answer the physics or look at what created it, energy was involved that we feel was probably a plasma-type event, and this formation even states that because at each rim there's a ring, and at the rim where the dolphin's head would be or the nose would be, mm-hmm. where dolphins communicate by ultrasound, sound and sonic and ultrasonic energy, and one of these circles is slightly larger than the other to suggest, you know, it's emanating from there.
And are these are perfect circles?
Near perfect.
Yeah.
And it's giving a clue to the physics of the crop circle creation process. I looked at these circles and thought of electrostatic charges, because if you think of a disk, where does electrostatic charge accumulate on a disk? It particularly accumulates at the rim. And if you, again, imagine this two-dimensional crop circle as a three-dimensional mm-hmm. form, you'd realize that the circles are right where the rim is. And so I feel it was saying plasma technology. You know, the ETs, because this is reflecting, remember, the July 11th, 91 event, this is affirming, I think, the significance of it, both figure 3 and 4. By the way, this type of design symbol has not appeared again since.
It was just in 1991, that was it?
It was just 91, just after the world's largest city had its great big, major sighting event of the fact we're not alone. And it's almost like it was mirrored in the field, symbolized, stated in a symbolic fashion by the primary source. So this wasn't ETs doing this, even though it was affirming the fact we're not alone.
Well, why do you distinguish that, of the three sources, divine, ET, man-made, why throw in divine? Why not all ET or all man-made?
Because we've had many experiences and also have gone over a lot of evidence, and also we've deciphered a lot of formations that constantly point to a cosmic intelligence that utilizes multiple natural and supernatural forces, including the psychokinetic energy of human consciousness.
And also the symbols are put together in such absolutely ingenious visual metaphors, stating sometimes multiple concepts and multiple references that are totally beyond, human endeavor or ability to come up with.
Well, I got to tell you, the image number 5, which we'll talk about at the top of the hour that you've sent me, is one of the most inspiring ones I've seen, an illuminated disc rising above one of the circles. We'll talk about that in a moment. Again, if you have a computer, get up to these images at coasttocoastam.com.